First John chapter number three. I hope that you've been enjoying, as I've been really enjoying, studying the book of First John and sharing some things with you from my studies that week. And we're just going to, Lord willing, finish chapter number three today. I don't know how many weeks we've been going on it so far, and we've got two chapters to go. And what a great book this is. This is something that was said at the beginning of the lessons on First John. It's a, some of the kids, and I don't know what it is about kids, and I was the same way when I was a kid. You fascinated with binoculars and telescopes, and I thought it because I wasn't real smart, but I see all kids do the same. We used to get the rolled, leftover rolls from paper towels and look through them and pretend you're a pirate. Oh, I can see so much better through this thing. And, you know, the foolishness of kids, but no lens in it or anything, but it's just kind of fun to pretend that you're looking through something or get two of them. Boy, these are strong binoculars. And we got some old binoculars around our house that they'll never get thrown away. They don't work at all, but the kids use them backwards and everything else. But I think of that with the book of First John. This is like a telescope to see the rest of the Bible through this book. It's a tremendous way to study the Bible. And I'm amazed when I study this book how much, and every book is the same in the Bible. They're all written by God, and you can learn so much about the rest of the Bible by digging into any particular book. But this has long been one of my favorite books. And just by way of review at the beginning there, we need to remember what the book of 1 John is all about. That God loves me though I am an unworthy sinner, under the condemnation of Adam. I'm a part of Adam's race. Worse than that, I'm a Gentile dog. I'm not even a part of His chosen people, the nation of Israel. And then secondly, God provided salvation through grace by faith and now desires more than anything. You ever stop to think about that? Those of us who like to study God's creation and science in the real science world, more than anything in this whole magnificent creation, God desires to have fellowship with me. What an amazing thing that is to think about. I wrote that and I thought, that doesn't sound right. But the more I look at it, I thought, well, that's true. More than all the beauty of God's creation, He desires me to fellowship with Him. And I am made one with Christ through His sinless, eternal, precious blood that He shed for me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And this church is made up of members of God's family, where we find a closer and sweeter fellowship than any earthly or family bond on this earth can offer. And what a fellowship we share in Christ. And boy, there's a lot of things I'd like to say. Let me just read a couple things I jotted down. I love my earthly family. But I have a... Now, some folks will never understand this. And I know that. I love my earthly family, but I have an even deeper love for my heavenly family. And some folks can't comprehend that. It is heavenly when your earthly family is a part of God's family. It doesn't get any better than that. And I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in fellowship with God. That's later on in the book of 2nd or 3rd John, I believe it is. And I'll say this, God's work goes on even when my family's in town. I'll say that for our people. You know, folks call and say, oh, I don't mean to bother you while your family's in town. God's work goes on whether my family's in town or not. Amen? A lot of folks don't quite get that because I have a deeper love for God's family than for my own family. And I love my family. And more than anything, I desire my family to be a part of God's family. And it's a blessing to see God working in their life. And reality, to neglect the work of God for the sake of my family, my earthly family, is one of the surest ways I know to turn your children away from God. Let me say that again. That is so important to get. To neglect the work of God for the sake of my earthly family is one of the surest ways I know to discourage my children from having a walk with God. Boy, I wish we could understand that. I wish I could somehow relay that truth to you. Folks say, well, this is the time I got to get together with my family. No, this is God's day. Get together with your family in God's house. And don't neglect the work of God for your family. Family's great, but God's family's so much greater. Amen? And your relationship with God is so much greater. If you know the song, sing it with me. We're a part of the family that's been born again. Part of a family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're a part of a family that's on its way home. I thought folks knew that song. I guess I get to sing a solo this morning. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven as God's family. I think I got the chorus for next month. What a great blessing it is to fellowship with God and to fellowship with one another, which is what the book of 1 John is all about. How to have a right fellowship with God. And when you have a right fellowship with God, your fellowship with God's people is what it ought to be. And your fellowship with the world is what it ought to be. To love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We get so wrapped up in this world. Well, let's get into our text and our message this morning in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20 through the end of the chapter. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Father, I pray that You would show us what it means to abide in Christ, to live in harmony and fellowship with You, to walk in the Spirit and not in the power of our flesh. What a blessing it is to know You as our Savior. And Lord, more than knowing You, it's even greater when we learn to walk in perfect fellowship with You. And of course, we'll never reach that perfection until we no longer have this sin nature to struggle with, and no longer live in this flesh that's a part of the Adamic fallen nature. And God, I pray that You would teach us to love one another as You have loved us. And God, we pray Your blessing upon the Word of God this morning now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of these verses, to be quite honest with you, when you go through the book of 1 John, and anywhere in the Bible, you say, well, I'm not really sure what that verse is. Someone said, well, the best way to read the Bible is pick up the things that you don't understand, the things you don't understand, or you pick up the things you do understand, things you don't understand, just go past them. You'll get them eventually. But the more you dig into the Word of God, the more you realize how much truth there is that we're missing if we really don't dig like we ought to. And I want us to look at this morning, and I gave you an outline there to follow along, and the title on there is Living Above Our Condemnation. living above our condemnation. Before we even get back to our text, let me mention a few things to give you. And the first one is this. We are already condemned. You and I are already condemned. Most everybody knows John 3:16. For God, say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But do you know the next couple of verses? Let me read the next couple of verses. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now verse number 18 says, He that believeth Him on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on Him is condemned already. You see, we were born into this world condemned. We didn't even have to sin to be condemned. We were already condemned. We are already condemned. And I know what is in my heart. And what's in my heart is nothing desirable. I can guarantee you that. In Matthew 15 and verse number 19, Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies," and the list goes on. That's what's in my heart. Wow. I thought I was a better person than that. Not in God's eyes. There's nothing good inside of me, the Apostle Paul said. And worse yet, in Jeremiah 17:9, most of you know the verse I got to start the verse out. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My heart's more deceitful than the devil himself. That's a part of all things, isn't it? My heart is the most deceitful thing in this world because it's a part of Adam's fallen race. The enemy that I battle with, and John identifies him back in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 16, if you look at that verse. The enemy that I battle with every day in this world is my own what? Lust and pride. That's the greatest enemy I face. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I'm living under condemnation. Every one of us is living under the condemnation of God, but I want to live above that condemnation, don't you? I want to live above that condemnation that I naturally face as a child of Adam. The way all of us, we're all related. We're all children of Adam, aren't we? We're all children of Noah, too. All of us go back to the same place, and we get our sin nature from Adam. Living above our condemnation. First of all, I want you to see this in verse number 20. Look at our text again. For if our heart condemn us, and my heart does condemn me, God is what? God is greater than our heart. Aren't you glad for that? God's greater than our heart. God is greater than my heart's condemnation. This is the good news, that God is, what's the word that goes in there? Help me out. Greater than our heart. The good news is that God is greater than our heart. There is hope for me, even though I'm under the condemnation of Adam and sinful man. Also, letter B on your outline, we are born of God. We've been born again, born of God, and now have God's nature in us. In 1 John 4:4, ahead one chapter, well, a few verses. We are of God, little children, and have overcome them because, what? Greater is He that is... Read that verse with me. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in us? The Holy Spirit of God. When I was born again, the Holy Spirit of God came to live inside of me. In fact, that's the next verse that I have there in your outline. The Holy Spirit of God, let me see where I'm at here, lives inside of those that are born again. In John 14, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter." That's the person of the Holy Spirit. "That will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you." Where does God live? God is all places at all times. The heavens cannot contain God. God holds all the universe in the palm of one hand. And yet, God has chosen to live inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing thing to think about. I remember I sometimes joke about this, that one of the professors in college had a little line that he would always say, if you ever want to go crazy, like, I want to go crazy. If you ever want to go crazy, just lock yourself in a dark room and think about the fact that God Himself lives inside of you. Our mind can't comprehend that. We can't even begin to fathom what all that entails or try to figure out what eternity. A lot of the great truths of the Bible, we can't begin to understand them. And we would go absolutely insane trying to figure that out. But the fact is one of the most amazing things I can think about, that the God who spoke the universe into existence has chosen me to live inside of me. When David built the temple, God told him, "David, you can't build me a house. The heaven can't contain me." Yet I'll let Solomon build the house to show my glory to the people of God. And God now dwells in me to show His glory to others around me. Thank God that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Now, number two on your outline, I want you to see this in our text in verse number 21 through 22. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." I love that word, confidence. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight." Our confidence is in the fellowship that we have with God. This is the theme of the book. How to have fellowship with God and how to be in right fellowship with those around us. And notice letter A in verse number 21. Read the first part of that verse. It says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not." We are no longer hopelessly trapped in the condemnation of our heart. We're no longer hopelessly. Our heart is deceitful above all things. "Inside of me dwelleth no good things," but I'm no longer hopelessly trapped inside of that heart. I've got something better. God is greater than our heart. And letter B, we have confidence. I love the word "toward God," not in God, but toward God through the work of Christ. We have confidence toward God. The assurance of our salvation is not what our heart thinks, not what I think, what I feel, but what God's Word says, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation? Then you're saved. You say, "Well, I don't feel saved." You know, there's mornings that I don't feel very Christian. There's times that I just don't feel very Christian. But I'm thankful that my salvation is not based upon my feelings, my emotions. It's based upon the sure Word of God. The confidence that I have is toward God and His Word. And now notice this in verse number 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and those things that are pleasing in His sight." Now, taking on the surface and not in the context of the entire book, verses like this can be confusing. That's why it's important to rightly divide the Word of God. In other words, piece it all together. Don't pull one verse out of context and say, "Well, this is what I believe. Look, it says that right there." You know, you can get the Bible to say anything. You can get the Bible to say that there's no God. The Bible does say there is no God. In fact, twice it says there is no God. But the whole verse says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Be careful you don't pull the verse out of context. And I say that to say that this verse is telling us that we now have access to God and are pleasing in His sight. Putting on our faith in Christ is what makes us pleasing. Putting our faith, placing our faith in Christ is what makes us pleasing in His sight. It's not our works of righteousness, but according to His righteousness we are saved. His righteousness is His plan or scheme of redemption. Not my plan, not religion's plan, but His design for salvation, which is what the theme of the entire book of Romans is about. Let me read a couple of verses here that are written down for you. Romans 3, I guess I just put verse 26 on your paper, but verse 24 through 26 in Romans 3 says, being justified freely. What's the word justified mean? Somebody tell me. You've learned that definition? Just as if I've never sinned. I'm justified freely by His grace. Grace is God doing in me something that I cannot possibly do on myself. Justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That's a fun word. Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I look at this, I want to go back and define all those words, but those are great words. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth on Jesus. We're justified by believing on Jesus. In other words, it's not our righteousness. It's not our justification. It's not our works. It's His work that justifies us, that saves us. And look at verse number 2. There's a word here that I absolutely love. I want to preach just on this word sometime. The second word in that verse, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. That's a whole nother message. That whatsoever is a word that's worth following all through the Bible. In fact, I'd encourage you, if you're in the habit of studying the Bible on Sunday afternoon, which is a great habit to get into, get out a Strong's Concordance. I hope you know what that is. And look up the word whatsoever and read through the verses that have that word in it. You'll find it mentioned 150 times. It'll take you a little time to read all those verses. But there's some great things that God used that word whatsoever. For example, He says, whatsoever He doeth shall prosper the godly man. We looked at that Wednesday night. Whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive, God says. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. Whatever you give, God will give more than what you give. Whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Everything you say in the dark, when no one sees, no one hears, God's going to expose it one day. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. And the Holy Spirit shall teach you and guide you in all things and bring to remembrance whatsoever I have told you, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will teach you the Word of God and teach you all the whatsoevers in the Word of God. All the lessons you need to know are given there, and the Holy Spirit's given to instruct you in all those things. Well, let's go on. Letter D, the promise is for those that keep His commandments. You notice in verse 22 and also in verse number 24 that this is verse number 23, whosoever we ask in His name, for those that keep His commandments. In verse number 24 also, he that keepeth His commands. What does it mean to keep? And by the way, let me say this. I would be a foolish person to think myself so self-righteous as the religious leaders of Jesus' day to think that, look at me, I'm keeping all God's commandments. None of us can keep God's commandments. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter number 19 and said, what good thing? I've done all these things. What else do I need? And Jesus said, go sell everything that you have and then come back and let's talk about it. He said, I can't do that. He went away sorrowing because he had great riches. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, it is impossible for a rich man to get to heaven, much like it would be impossible for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. Now we get that picture in our mind, don't we? And they, scratching their heads, looked at him and said, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus, now you're starting to get it. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see, it's not our righteousness. There's nothing I can do to earn merit or favor with God. But I'm to keep. There's two key words here in understanding. I wish I had time to do word studies on them. The word keep. There's a number of different words in the Greek Bible that are translated keep in the English Bible, and there's an interesting comparison with them. But I'll just say this, that the word keep here means to hold fast, to cling to hold tightly onto something, is what the word keep means. Now the commandment in this particular verse is talking about the injunction, the precept, the prescription. You think of the pharmacist gives you a prescription. And you go to, the doctor gives you a prescription, and you go to the pharmacist, and they're to give you what the doctor prescribes, right? If not, they're going to get in trouble. And God says, this is my prescription, this is what I expect of you. In other words, what He's saying here, you come to Jesus Christ by my prescription, by my method, not your own device, not your own ways, but you cling to what I have given to you. And what is that way? Well, back in 1 John, God describes it in the first few verses of 1 John. Oh, I went too far. I'm in Peter now. In 1 John, chapter number 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, the hands of have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it. And bear witness, John says. John, of course, being one of Jesus' disciples, and showing to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest or revealed unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we. We're telling you now what we have heard, the message directly from God the Father through God the Son and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And jump down to verse number we'll go down to about verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we do what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, if I confess, if I agree with God, yes, God, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I believe Jesus came into this world as God veiled in humanity, and He died for my sin, and you rose from the dead, showing that you have power over death and over the grave, and I put my faith and confidence and trust in you. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to trust in you only, and I'm going to follow your prescription. I'm not going to try to earn my salvation, but I'm going to trust you. That's what God says. He that keepeth my commandments. I'm holding on to the truth of the gospel, the commandments of God, the prescription that God, the righteousness of God revealed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the last thing, and I'm out of time, so I need to hurry through this. This is His commandments. Look at the last part of verse 22 and into verse number 24. And do those things which are pleasing in His sight, which God is satisfied in, not our righteousness, but His righteousness. And this is the commandment, that you should believe on the name of the Son of the Son Jesus Christ, and love one another. And He gave us commandment, and he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know. One of the key words in the Gospel of John is to know, along with the word fellowship. We know that He abideth in us, and the Spirit which He gave hath given us. Let me give you four things here very quickly, and we'll be done. This is His commandment. First of all, believe on His Word. Again, the last part of verse number 22. And do those things which are pleasing in His sight. In other words, it's not, I've gotten used to asking people this simple question: do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And a lot of people will say yes, but they don't know who Jesus Christ is. In fact, sometimes I wonder, which Jesus Christ do you have a personal relationship with? And I immediately would go into, is it the Jesus Christ of the Bible or the Jesus Christ of religion? Or the Jesus Christ that I've made up in my own mind? That's the big one today. Well, God, I've created God in my own image according to my own understanding, or the Jesus of the Bible. And what a difference that makes. We believe on the Jesus that this book tells us about. Not that Hollywood tells us about, not that religion tells us about, not that we think of, we know about, but the one in this book. I believe on the Word, the Gospel according to the Word of God. I believe on God. And we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. What He prescribes or desires, that is, repentance, brokenness for my sin, and belief on Him, and calling upon Him, and putting my faith in Him, and receiving the gift of eternal life is what we defined earlier as keeping His commandments. And then notice in verse number 23, to keep, this is His commandment, that we believe on, not in, but on. You know, one little letter can change the entire meaning of that verse. A lot of folks say, well, you know, it's just that my Bible says this, but yours says this. There's only one Bible I know of that's given by God and preserved by God. And every word, in fact, Jesus said every jot and tittle is important and preserved by God. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Believe on Christ. Cling to Him and Him alone. Keep His command. Hold on to Him. The description, the prescription that God gives, that righteousness is found in Him and not in my own works. And my commandment, the two greatest commandments that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, the books of Moses, and to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I've learned this, the more we love God, the more we love one another. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the sweeter my fellowship is with God, the sweeter it is with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's enough said about that. Boy, there's a lot right there. And we love one another. And the more we love God, the more we love one another, the more assurance, and this is where this is going, the more assurance we have. Notice what the last verse says in verse number, I'm in the wrong chapter now, verse number 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we, what's that word? Know, K-N-O-W. That He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Because His Spirit. And hereby we know. I know I've used this illustration before, and I think back many years ago, Brother Don and I were visiting somebody in the jail that just gotten saved. And I remember the guard taking us into this meeting room, which was, I think it's the same room they hold, they call the sobering tank, where they put drunks in till they sober up. They put a table and a couple of chairs there. We sat down, and then they brought this guy in. And I said, yes, sir. This guy, bigger and obviously stronger, he could take both of us. And I was getting a little nervous. And I was saying, could you stay in here just in case this guy? I've never met this guy, and he looks like trouble to me. He had everything troubling look about him, and we started talking to him, and he said, "Oh, I've believed in God all my life. I've had religion before, but I got something that's different." And I said, "What'd you get?" And he said, "I know it's real." because I've beat up so many people before. I've left people laying dead after I got done with them, didn't think a thing about it. But I got saved a while ago, and I beat this guy up, and the first time in my life, I felt bad about it. Good, if you beat me up, I hope you at least feel bad about it. I mean, I'm a little bit nervous when I saw him. And I thought, well, what a lesson there is for us. If we truly love God, we ought automatically love each other. And the more we love each other, the more assurance we have. And what a truth that is. And this is how we know that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that we have a personal relationship with Him, with Jesus Christ, with God, which is what the book of 1 John is all about, how to have a personal relationship with Him, how to have fellowship with Him. This is His commandment. You believe in His Word. You've trusted in God's plan of salvation, and you believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. You've trusted in Him alone for salvation. And we love one another. That doesn't come automatically. And God will, there'll be trying times and testings that, we need to learn to love and forgive and go beyond that. And this is how hereby we know. We know that we have fellowship. We know that He abides in us and we in Him, because we keep His commandments. I'm going to ask you to